Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Smaranti nandanti tate hitam jana te eva paishyanti yat shirena kavakam bhava pravaho paramam padam bhutam. Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, Shravana, is very important. If hearing from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and bona fide speaker, and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord. and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with his conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as with his married wives in Dwaraka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes, people in an unauthorized hearing process take more interest. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes, people in an unauthorized hearing process take more interested in hearing about his dealing with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scriptures, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not, therefore, consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above-mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances. Hearing about him, or about his devotees, or combatants, is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and the Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relation with him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential.
O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Pandavas is herein continuing her beautiful prayers to Lord Sri Krishna, pleading with him not to leave the city of Hastinapur, to return to his kingdom of Dwarka. Although Queen Kunti has been promoted by the grace of the Lord along with her children to rule the entire world with virtually no one antagonistic against them. All of the enemies of the Pandavas were killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra by the grace of Sri Krishna. So Queen Kunti is praying, "My Lord, what is the use What is the value of this great kingdom without you? It is only the markings of your beautiful lotus feet on the ground that gives any opulence to our kingdom. Otherwise, this kingdom is empty. It is nothing. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu also prayed in this way. Sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahe name. That this entire universe is a dreary void. It is bereft of any meaning without the presence of Govinda. In this verse, Queen Kunti is praying that the process of hearing and chanting the glorious activities of the Lord has such purifying and powerful effects that simply by doing so, or taking pleasure in others doing so, one can stop the repetition of birth and death. As Prahlad Maharaj has explained, there are 9 processes of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that if we properly perform the one activity of hearing the glories of the Lord, then automatically the other processes of devotional service will be proper. But without establishing our relationship with Krishna, by properly hearing, submissively, attentively, from the right source, those bona fide representatives of the Lord's mercy who come in the form of proper disciplic succession, then none of the other processes of devotional service that we try to or endeavor to follow can be proper. Therefore, hearing is the beginning and the most essential part of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this beautiful purport how there are so many people who are hearing and speaking from Srimad Bhagavat, from Bhagavad Gita, but they do not understand what is the true meaning. They do not get real benefit. The real benefit is bhakti, devotion. Because generally, such speakers give their own interpretations or the interpretations of others. Here at Kumbh Mela, we find so many speakers of the Gita and the Bhagavad. So many wonderful exhibitions of different persons' interpretations of what spiritual life is. But we do not find the sentiments of true unalloyed devotion expanding within people's hearts. There were hundreds of translations of Gita in the English language, many of them written by the people who are here at this Mela, but not a single person ever became a devotee of Krishna. And throughout the Gita, Krishna only gives one message: Man mana bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Matta parataram nanya kinchir asti dhananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Aham saravasya prabhavo matta saravam pravartate. I am the source of everything. Worship me with all your hearts. Ahunam janmanam mante jnanavam mam bhapachate vasudeva saravamiti samahatma sadurlabha. After practicing all the various religions through many births and deaths, when one finally comes to real knowledge, one surrenders to me. But who is teaching to surrender to Krishna? Who is teaching that the eternal form of Krishna is the essence and the culmination of absolute truth? We see everywhere people are enjoying watching the various Rasleela dramas. But who is giving the proper understanding that this is the eternal, supreme, and original form of God, in whom we can eternally find shelter and gain entrance into his divine Leela? It is more or less a form of entertainment, a form of piety, an idea of purification, but they do not understand that what they are seeing right before their eyes is the very goal of all purification. By all the Vedas, Krishna says, I am to be known. So one who understands the transcendental activities in this light of the Lord can actually make genuine spiritual progress. We must know that the activities of Sri Krishna are the summum bonum of all spiritual knowledge. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna's form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham punara janmana iti mam eti sorta. And one who understands the transcendental activities performed by that Satchitananda form of Sri Krishna never takes birth again in this material world, but attains to his eternal abode. What they are witnessing, these people, in practically every camp we see the Rasleela taking place. We have seen so many. Even the Shankaracharya's camps, they have the Rasleelas taking place. And people are attracted. And they understand that Krishna is avatar. But they generally cannot understand that these are eternal pastimes, which are eternally taking place in the spiritual world. And it is the final resting place of the liberated soul to eternally live within the divine abode of these pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, when a devotee sees and hears the glorious pastimes of the Lord, he worships them with all their hearts. He hears with this proper understanding, and therefore it awakens the sentiments of true devotion. But if we do not hear the Bhagavad, and we do not see the Leela of the Lord with the proper sentiment of devotion, with the proper understanding of knowledge of Krishna's Leela, then devotion is not awakened through the process. Perhaps jnana, perhaps some further piety. But Bhagavatam can only be understood by hearing from the person Bhagavatam, from that person who has surrendered his life in the loving service of Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains so wonderfully how all the pastimes of the Lord are transcendental, and therefore a devotee is anxious to hear of all of the various activities of the Lord. Not just Krishna dancing with gopis, but also Krishna killing the demons, and also Krishna's wonderful dealings with the Pandavas. They are all transcendental. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that every syllable of the Bhagavatam is none different than Krishna. It is pure and it is transcendental. These beautiful prayers of Queen Kunti are giving us a proper entrance and understanding into the nature of Krishna, his names, and his activities. And one who hears with this faith, with this spirit, never takes birth in this material world again. The benefits we derive from our spiritual activities are very much determined by the type of faith in which we perform these activities. It's like so many people are bathing at the Triveni Sangam, where Jamuna, Ganga, Saraswati are meeting for the benefit of all the world. But what is the benefit? It is said in the scriptures that one who bathes in this Sangam achieves liberation. But according to our faith, that is how our bath will actually benefit us. There is a story you may have heard where Shiva, Lord Shankar, and Parvati were coming to this place of Prayag. And Parvati was asking Lord Shiva, how is it that anyone who bathes in this Sangam gets liberation? So Lord Shankar wanted to show Parvati and to show all the world what actually this means. So he took the form of a leper with severe leprosy, and he was sitting on the bank of the Triveni, and he told Parvati that when people walk by, you tell them that anyone who is liberated, if that person touches me, I will be cured from my leprosy. But if a person is not liberated and they touch me, they will get my leprosy. And you ask people if they will touch me. So people would take baths in Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, and they'd come out, and Parvati would, they'd see, and they'd say, oh, what is the problem with your husband? He has leprosy. If you touch him, he will get cured if you're liberated. But if you're not liberated, you will get his leprosy. So will you kindly touch him? I'm sorry, I'm not qualified. So in this way, again and again and again, so many thousands of people were walking by and no one would dare to touch him. And then a young boy came by and Parvati said, if you touch him, he will get cured if you're liberated, but if you're not liberated, you will get leprosy. So he said, oh, that's all I have to do is touch him? So he went back, he went into the Triveni, he took his bath, he came out, and he touched him. And Lord Shiva became free of leprosy. And Shiva told Parvati, this young boy will get liberated by his bath in Triveni. All the others, they will get no liberation from their bath in Triveni. Because they have no faith. They come here with the idea that if they take baths in Triveni, they get liberated. And they took baths, but they don't believe they got liberated. They don't believe in the power. That's why they would not touch me. Therefore, they will get no liberation. But this boy had faith that just by bathing in this water, I will be liberated, so what do I have to fear? Just like Srila Prabhupada explained, there is taking bath in Radha Kund and there is taking bath in Radha Kund. Rupa Goswami explains that when we bathe in Radha Kund, we attain the same sentiments as Srimati Radharani in part and parcel. Why? So many of us have taken our bath there and still we're thinking about all sorts of forms of material enjoyment in our life. And on Amavasya, we have taken our bath in the Triveni, but still, we are thinking so many, our mind is still so much uncontrolled. When we take faith, when we take that bath with that faith, then there will be very, very, very powerful divine result. No doubt, in any way you touch these waters, there will be purification. But ye yatam prapadyante tam stithaiva bhajamyaham mama vart manu varatante manushya parata saramasha. The purification will be for everyone, but the degree of purification is in correspondence with the degree of our faith in what the scriptures and what the great sages speak about such spiritual activities. When we chant the holy name, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, our purification is very, very much determined by the faith in which we perform it, and also the ordinary activities that we perform every day in devotional service. Whether we are preaching, whether we are distributing books, whether we are doing puja, or cleaning the temple, or any service we are doing, according to the faith in which we are performing that work, there will be a greater and greater degree of purification through that service. And faith comes through hearing. At beginning, this little bit of faith, without that little bit of faith, we will have no access to devotional activities. But when we start associating with devotees, proper devotees, genuine devotees, who are preserving the truths of the paramparas, and we hear from them regularly, our faith becomes established and it becomes nourished. And when we perform our activities in devotional service with that faith, we get great, great benefits. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada once said that tapasya means to read my books 6 hours every day. But then again, sometimes he said, if you have so many other activities, then you must at least attend Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Nasta praishya padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Each day we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And we must hear submissively. Pariprashnena sevaya. And we must hear from those persons who are the humble servants of the Lord, simply delivering his message. The power of the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam does not come by a person's materialistic assets. A person may be a profound scholar who knows tens and thousands, lakhs and lakhs of verses by memory, and may be tremendously equipped to philosophically defeat any rival. But the grace of God is not impregnated simply in such a person's words. And a person may be a very, very great Astanga yogi who has so many mystic powers, a person who can immediately cure people of serious diseases, even raise people from the dead. A person who can read people's minds, who can fly in the sky, walk on water, create, or not necessarily create, but just provide for you whatever you like instantly, just by the closing and opening of the hand. These are all materialistic powers. But we should know that the seed of real faith and devotion is not in the words of such souls. Only that soul who is genuinely humble and who is genuinely representing the previous acharyas, which means he is representing the original word of God, and he is simply delivering that message, that person has the power of real faith that he can inflict within your heart. Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, would sometimes say, my only qualification is that I am simply repeating what my Gurudev has spoken. He never showed any miracles. Not the type of materialistic miracles that people are seeking. But he showed the greatest miracle by simply repeating as a humble service the words of his Guru Maharaj. He changed people's hearts. He impregnated within them faith in devotional service and transformed their lives into devotees. That is the greatest miracle. That is the power of God. So to hear from such humble devotees of the Lord who simply preach what Krishna has preached without interpretation. As soon as we interpret, that means we think that we know something independent of the Lord. But one who simply repeats is in a humble position. The philosophers of the West, you cannot be a great philosopher unless you create a unique philosophy that counters all other philosophers. Yes? And Prabhupada explains that the word Muni, a Muni in that sense in the East, is someone who presents his own idea and defeats all other ideas. That a devotee does not want credit for creating his own philosophy, does not want glory for presenting so many new things. He simply wants to humbly deliver what the great souls have given and give all credit to them. One who has that qualification can give us Krishna, can give us bhakti. No one else. Not real bhakti. Queen Kunti, she understands by her mature realizations the power of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And we must know that the basis of all of our spiritual life is properly hearing and developing proper faith in the association of proper devotees. I remember in 1972, I was visiting New York City. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class. At this time, the emphasis of all the devotees in the temple were to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. There was so much pushing for everyone to go out from morning till night distributing books. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased that his devotees were working so hard in this service. But in Srimad Bhagavatam class, he chastised them all. He explained that you are out distributing my books all day, but have you read my books? He said, I have written these books not only to be distributed, but primarily to be read by my followers. He said, if you are not convinced, if you do not have faith in the content of these books, how will you convince another to take it seriously? And then he gave an example. That you give someone a book, you say, please buy this book. And they ask you, have you read this book? And you say, no, I only sell them. Who will buy? Unless you read carefully and understand, how will you convince another? How will you have that faith? And we see that there have been many book distributors who have distributed books and gotten big, big, wonderful scores for some years, and then they go away or they engage in some other activities. Those who have carefully studied Srila Prabhupada's books, who understand the value of them, they can go on distributing his books throughout their lives because they have that conviction. They have that faith. They have that spiritual potency. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that in this world, to try to perform devotional service is very difficult because there are so many enemies. There is the enemy of our mind. There is the enemy of our senses. There is the enemy of Kali, who has complete control, practically speaking, of the whole world around us. We need strength. We need spiritual strength to go on with our Krishna consciousness. And he explains that hearing the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this sadhana of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, is the food grains which give strength to our devotional life. And if we do not properly hear and chant, we will not have strength. And gradually we will be defeated by Maya. We will become weaker and weaker and weaker, despite how many other devotional activities we may do. The strength to perform it comes through hearing and chanting. Therefore, this sadhana is most essential. We cannot survive and endure any form of service unless we are very strictly and carefully hearing from the right sources and chanting the holy names. This is what gives depth. It's what gives realization to all of our other spiritual activities. It is said in Bhagavatam that whatever occupation we may perform, if it does not in the end increase our desire to hear the glories of the Lord, it is simply a waste of time. Shama eva hi kevalam. Therefore, we must very, very, very carefully take these words of Queen Kunti very, very seriously. Hearing the glories of the Lord, hearing the philosophy of the words of the Lord, hearing the beautiful pastimes of the Lord from those who genuinely have faith in those pastimes, who understand that they are nitya lila, eternal, is so essential to our spiritual progress. Krishna's pastimes are so sweet. They are so beautiful. We see here at the Kumbh Mela, almost everywhere, almost every major tent is Krishna Leela. Because they are so beautiful, so sweet, so charming to the heart. But unless we hear them from those who have faith in their eternal nature, it will simply be a form of enjoyment, but there will be no real purification. So therefore, to hear from those who have that faith is the most important means of sustenance to our spiritual lives. Is there any questions? Would you like to add
about about 8 feet from me, very close by, and you were praying like anything. And I drew a lot of spiritual strength, and I also started to pray. And I wonder if you could share with us the proper mood of having faith and bathing in Radhakund and your experience there that night. Perhaps you were praying.
I don't want to contaminate your hearts by discussing my experience. By hearing submissively from Gurudev, by sincerely trying to execute his instructions, especially his instructions of chanting the holy names attentively every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Hare.
And by assisting in his glorious mission of fulfilling the dream of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that in every town and village the holy names of Krishna will be chanted. And by becoming a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees, and pursuing in our life as our ultimate goal to live by that verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena Kiratanaya Sadahari. If we perform these activities in our life, hearing Guru Maharaj's books and philosophy from his devotees, chanting the names attentively, becoming the servant of the servant of his devotees and assisting in this great mission, all in the mood of trying to become humble like a blade of grass. If we perform all those things very, very, very carefully, then we will be in the proper state of mind to approach taking bath in Sri Radhakund. It is not just a matter of what we pray at the time. It is a question of the whole disposition of our consciousness created by our lifestyle. Any other questions? Yes.
Searching for a guru, and your mind is telling you, I don't like this style of this guru, I don't like this character, or this style of this character. Your intelligence is telling you, the instructions are really good, it's really good for me that way. So, which way do you judge the guru? Do you judge personality to inspire you, or the instruction?
We have to base our decisions on intelligence, not on our minds. Because the nature of the mind is accepting and rejecting, hankering and lamenting. Whatever your mind accepts, I guarantee it will reject in due course of time. And after it rejects it, then it will wonder whether it should accept it. And then if it accepts it, it will again reject it. This is the nature of the conditioned mind. And our mind is still so much influenced by the desire for sense gratification. So whatever we perceive through our mind's eye will be very much colored by our own personal motivations. Therefore, we must analyze with our intelligence. And our intelligence is coming from Krishna, from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the scriptures, and the great devotees of the Lord, past and present. We must understand what is a guru from that. If a person is humbly and sincerely presenting the correct conclusions of Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and teachings, as he has given to us as a representative of this great Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, a person who is living spiritual guide. And naturally, if we are analyzing according to this intelligence, not according to how a person looks or how a person charismatically may be behaving this way or that way, but if we have a genuine desire to find according to these qualifications, then Krishna in your heart will give you faith in that personality who can bring you back to his lotus feet. But we should know that at the beginning there will not be complete faith. Complete faith is a very, very advanced stage, nishtha. Complete faith can only come about when there are no more material desires in your heart, anartanavritishat. But if there is a reasonable faith based on an intelligent understanding, that is sufficient, by which we can perform bhajana kriya under his direction and gradually become purified and gradually create within our hearts the atmosphere by which real faith can be developed. Does that answer your question? Would you like to add any? Everyone knows Krishna Kshetra Prabhu? Do all of you know Krishna Kshetra? He has written this beautiful book on deity worship that we are modeling all our deity worship on. Two-volume book? Three-volume. Sir, any other questions?
Faith in the process of devotional service. I happened to see a couple of newspapers writing about the Kumbh Mela, and I see that the general tone of these journalists is highly cynical. So many people are reading these newspapers, and naturally they adopt such cynical mentality. So it's a little bit discouraging, I find, a bit discouraging. We want to preach Krishna consciousness in this country, and there's this, you know, huge wave of cynicism which people get from their media. So maybe you could comment on this situation.
To the age of Kali. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally was confronted with such cynicism. And all of the devotees. When Srivas and Advaita Acharya and the brothers of Srivas, when they were having their kirtan, practically the whole of Navadvip was simply cynical. Even more cynical than these newspapers. They were, this Srivas Pandit, what is he doing? Locking his doors, howling the holy names. What is the use? He's a beggar. He has no wealth. We are worshipping the goddess Chandi, or some of us are even atheists, and we have so much food and so much gold and so much clothing and such nice houses. Your Lord is supposed to be the husband of the goddess of fortune. What is he giving you? Why are you wasting your time? You're beggars. You have nothing. And you're keeping us up all night with your loud howling? We know what you're doing in there. We know what these people, these so-called Vaishnavas are doing. They're having illicit sex and drinking wine and performing all kinds of tantric rites in seclusion and trying to make themselves out to be great saints. This is the propaganda of Navadvip against the devotees. And he's chanting so loud that the Muslim rulers, they're going to hear it, and they're going to become so angry that they're going to arrest everyone in Navadvip because of them. Therefore, let us take his house and throw it in the Ganges. It was so discouraging. And when this was happening, all these terrible blasphemies, and then they were saying, the people of Navadvip, there's already a boat of the Muslim king's soldiers coming to Navadvip. They're coming to punish all of us because of the loud chanting of Srivas. Therefore, his house must be destroyed. We must get rid of him. And Srivas was hearing all these rumors. Terrible, terrible propaganda. And he felt very sorry. He didn't feel sorry because they were insulting him. He felt sorry because they were actually endangering the lives of other devotees. And they were cheating themselves of the Yuga Dharma, the only process in this age that they can become delivered, the chanting of the names. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing all of these terrible, terrible, terrible stories against Srivas and his followers, he came to Srivas's house. Srivas was then worshipping Lord Narasingadev. And Lord Chaitanya pushed open the door. And then he told Srivas that you have nothing to fear. He said, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he revealed his supreme divinity not only to Srivas, but to all Srivas's servants and family members. And then he said that if these soldiers come, what is the problem? I am your lord. What is there to fear? What can they do to you? I will go on the boat and I will tell them to go back. I am your real king. And if they refuse, then I will go to the king himself. And I will tell him, you get all of your court pundits and all of your big, big gurus. And they will bring in wild animals, elephants, lions, tigers, cows, donkeys. He said, you get them to become God conscious by your mantras. And they will try and they will fail. And then I will tell these animals, chant the holy name of Krishna. And all these animals will start weeping, tears of ecstasy, and rolling on the ground, crying out very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And you do not think I can do this? And then there was little Narayani, who was Srivas' niece. She was only 4 years old at the time. And Mahaprabhu said, Narayani, chant the name of Krishna. And this little tiny girl began to chant, Krishna, Krishna. And as soon as she said the name Krishna, tears began to just flow like Ganga and Jamuna from her eyes. And she fell to the ground, shivering and trembling in ecstatic love. He wanted to show that he could give anyone ecstatic love if he so desired. So in this way, he encouraged the devotees to go on with their devotional service, despite the most terrible possible anti-propaganda against them. And even Lord Chaitanya himself, he defeated Keshav Kashmiri. He defeated the Chand Kazi and converted him. He converted millions of the people of Navadvip to be chanting the holy names of Krishna in ecstatic love wherever they were going. Everyone was hearing Krishna's name by his influence. But still, there was a class of Brahmins who were blaspheming him and blaspheming his movement. One day he was sitting chanting the names of the gopis. He was chanting gopi, gopi, and in a particular mood of ecstasy. And one Brahmin came to him and said, "Why you are chanting gopis' names? This is not authorized. You should chant Krishna's names." So he was in the mood of Sri Radharani. "That Krishna, he's a cheater. He left me. Why you want me to chant Krishna's name? Get out of here." And he picked up a stick and started chasing after the Brahmin. And the Brahmin ran for his life, and he was running behind him with a stick. And the Brahmin ran into the area where thousands of Brahmins were studying their Shastras, and he explained to them that this Nimai Pandit, he's a madman. He chased, "I'm a Brahmin. He wanted to strike me with sticks." And then all these Brahmins began making so much propaganda against Nimai Pandit. And ultimately the Lord decided that they're not listening to me. They're speaking bad against me. Therefore I will take sannyas. Then they will respect me. Then I can deliver them. So in this age of Kali Yuga, we should know that this counter-propaganda against real religious life is natural. The atheistic scientists, they are creating so much propaganda to try to defy the truth of the Vedas. In fact, Srila Prabhupada personally ordered that this Bhakti Vedanta Institute be established to defeat the terrible atheistic propaganda of the scientists, which has infiltrated every aspect of life in this world. And there's so much literature, like these newspapers you're talking about, like so many magazines, so many novels, which are simply propagating either atheism, doubt, bogus religion, and most of all, sense gratification. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada ordered, distribute these books by the millions profusely to counteract this propaganda. And chant the holy name loudly in every street, in every city, to counteract this propaganda. So the more they make propaganda against real religion, the more we have a challenge to neutralize that propaganda through Krishna conscious propaganda, through distributing books, through Hari Kirtan, through preaching, through prasad distribution, through just displaying exemplary qualities of a Vaishnava in society. This is how we must deal with it. It is a war. It is a battle. They are throwing their astras, and we have to have astras to throw in return. And our ashtra, our Krishna katha in various forms, and Krishna kirtan and Krishna prasad. And we must make great endeavors to broadly infuse society with Krishna katha, Krishna kirtan, and Krishna prasad, and Vaishnava satsang. And the more we see this, in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, when he saw such propaganda, he became more compassionate and was willing to sacrifice his beautiful, beloved 14-year-old wife, Vishnupriya, and his widowed mother to reach those people making that propaganda and give them Krishna consciousness. So the more the propaganda, a devotee's heart, the more compassionate he becomes. It was for this reason that Dvaitacharya called the Lord. There was so much terrible propaganda against Vaishnavism, so much atheism, so much sense gratification. Advaita was thinking, "I can't do it myself. Only Krishna peers can it be done. These people must be delivered. My name is not Advaita unless, and I am not a devotee. I am not an incarnation of the Lord unless I can bring Mahaprabhu Krishna down to deliver these rascals and fools making all this propaganda for sense gratification." So he went to the Ganges and was crying out with such love, "Krishna, come deliver these people, these fools and rascals." And Mahaprabhu came to answer his prayer. So So the more we see these newspapers, the more we see all this atheistic propaganda and the cynicism toward real religion, the more we should become compassionate and determined to make sacrifices to help Srila Prabhupada's movement to rescue them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world in an atmosphere of utter cynicism toward Vaishnavism. And he accepted sannyas in an atmosphere of total cynicism amongst monks Vaishnavas. So this is the atmosphere that we can flourish best. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in his last years, sometimes he was so sick, so ill, they said, why don't you just, people were asking him, why don't you go to Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, I am a warrior. I want to die in the battlefield. That will be glorious. So we are his descendants in our own humble ways. We must be humble and loving servants toward all Vaishnavas, but we have to be warriors against those who are representing the illusory energy. And we must defeat them, not with physical weapons, but with compassion and humility and devotion, and with Krishna's holy name and Krishna's holy message and Krishna's holy prasad. Nidai go premanan. Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. I'm so grateful and happy to be with everyone at this most auspicious event of Sri Kumbh Mela. It is actually a great fortune. Yesterday, Mahanidhi Maharaj was telling me that when he was coming to Kumbh Mela, some of the devotees in Vrindavan were telling him, why you want to go to Kumbh Mela? This is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the essence of all holy places. Well, what ras will you find at the Kumbh Mela that you cannot find? This is the place of all ras. Why will you go to Kumbh Mela? And what is the answer? It's simple. When Srila Prabhupada was here in India in 1971 and again in 1977, he could have sent all his disciples all over the world to Vrindavan and told them to stay there and enjoy rasa. But he took every possible devotee he could find, and he sent them to Kumbh Mela. And he said, you go there, you have Hari Kirtan, you distribute books, you distribute prasad, you preach Krishna Katha. And he himself came, although in 1977, he was very ill. He had terrible cold. His health was so poor, but he came to this Kumbh Mela and invited hundreds and hundreds of his disciples to come with him from everywhere because he saw how important it was to preach at this place by Hari Kirtan, by book distribution, by prasad distribution. Especially, he emphasized these things. He considered it so important that he personally came, and he personally called every possible devotee who could be spared to come here. So we are following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. This is his mission, and therefore we consider it the most glorious privilege and the highest realm of spirituality to be serving him according to his desire. Vrindavan will be found and realized most wherever we are humbly and obediently carrying out the order of our Guru Maharaj. Yes. Huh? He especially was very emphatic about the Kumbh Melas. But of course, whenever there is a good opportunity to preach, we should know that that is the best way to please Guru Maharaj. I feel that would be very, very nice. And if you are here in Allahabad, your enthusiasm will attract so many people to come to help. Yes, the Nag Mela, so many hundreds and thousands of people are here. And it's such a wonderful opportunity to reach so many people with Krishna consciousness and give dignity to Guru Maharaj's movement throughout all of this great land of India. So it will be very, very wonderful service if we can have a nice camp every year. Allahabad, Prayagraj is so such an important place. Lord Nityananda Prabhu came here to bathe. Before that, Krishna came here to bathe. Balaram came here to bathe during his tour. Lord Sri Ramchandra, Sita, and Lakshman, they came here. This was where the ashram of Bhardraj Muni was, right on the banks of the Triveni. And Lord Sri Ramchandra came here, and he received the blessings of Bhardraj Muni and got his direction to go to Chitrakoot. But before that, he bathed at the confluence, and Lord Ramchandra personally explained that this is the king of all holy places, Prayagraj. The Lord himself coronated this place with this holy place with the title of Prayagraj, Lord Sri Ramchandra. And this is the holy place where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami at the Dashashvamedha Ghat. We were there yesterday discussing this point, that we are all Rupa Anubas. Our whole life is based on the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami explained in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Upadeshamrita the basic principles of how a devotee must live from the beginning stages to the most advanced stages. And those who follow these teachings are genuine, actual followers of Lord Chaitanya. We are Rupanuga Sampradaya in that sense. Lord Chaitanya is taught by his words, by his activities. But he only wrote 8 verses, Shikshastakam. But it was through Rupa Goswami that he delineated his teachings systematically for all his followers for all time to come. And it was here at Prayag that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami for 10 days. And when he embraced Rupa Goswami, it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he infused within Rupa Goswami the potency and the empowerment to perfectly understand his teachings and to perfectly teach them to the world. So the seed of all Krishna consciousness as we know it was planted in the heart of Rupa Goswami by Lord Chaitanya himself here at Prayag. And then he sent Rupa Goswami from this place to Vrindavan, where he wrote down what he had heard from Mahaprabhu and expanded on that. And as Prabhuji was explaining, this is the place where His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, received His Naam Mantra and His Mantra Diksha from Om Vishnu Pad Paramahong Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He received both of his initiations here at Prayagraj. Spiritually, this is Srila Prabhupada's birthplace from the point of view of initiation. Balabhata's house, where he brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad. Very, for our sampradaya, this place has very great importance. We are so fortunate that we can perform some little austerities here and perform our bhajan here and help with the preaching efforts here. And I am very grateful to all of you who have come to perform this wonderful tapasya in this wonderful holy place for the wonderful pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and all of the Vaishnavas. And please know that your endeavor will be eternally remembered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever we can do here with enthusiasm is our greatest fortune. Hare Krishna.